has a way of repeating itself, doesn't it? But he changed our name, which means he gives us a new nature so that we don't repeat the past. We find Abram, and it's very interesting the way this story goes, the way this conversation goes. Because God shows up in verse 1, if you'll go back to that, Jason. God shows up in verse 1, and after these things, God begins to speak to Abram in a vision. And God says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and I'm your great reward." And he says this, and what I find so interesting, Dustin, is if you're around somebody very long, it doesn't take too long for them to tell you if something is bothering them. Do you know what I'm talking about? It could be something simple. It could be something small. If something's hurting them, it doesn't take too long for them to express what's bothering them. God speaks to Abram and says, "I'm your shield. I'm your reward, your exceeding great reward." And then Abram instantly says something that he must have been thinking about for quite a while. Because his response to that was, "What are you going to give me seeing I go childless?" So there's no doubt in my mind Abram had been thinking about not having any children. This was what was on his heart. And throughout this time as he walked, and there had to be days where he wondered why he was childless. There had to be days that he said, "Well, I'm just going to trust God and it'll be okay." But he still wondered why there was an issue. And as soon as he gets a chance, God said, I can't imagine if I came up to you and said, "Hey, I'm fixing to bless you. I'm getting ready to give you this great blessing." "Well, what are you going to give me? I ain't got no children." And that's the question that he brings up. He said, "Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house," he said, is Eleazar of Damascus. He said, "He's going to get this inheritance because I don't have any kids." Notice what he says. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." So somewhere in his life, he concluded that this was God's fault. He said, "I don't have any kids. And by the way, you're the one that haven't given me any kids. You're not the one you've given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine." He said, "God, this is on you." God opens up the dialogue, and as soon as he speaks to him, Abram unloads. "I don't have any children, and you haven't given me any. So how can I be blessed?" And this is what happens in our life if we're not careful. God is getting ready to do something, but we are so used to the way things are and the way things have been that when God's word comes forth, we go back to where we are and where we have been. Let me preach to you this today, because the issue is God's getting ready to do something. The problem is Abram can't hardly see how it's going to happen because he's going by his life's experience. He knows what has happened up till this point. But God is speaking something new. He's getting ready to do something different. If we're not careful, we'll miss the blessing of God because we're so caught up in the way things have been and our experience that we have experienced that we begin to put the brakes on what God is trying to do. Amen. Stand up, Thomas. I got to have an illustration. Go ahead and stand up. Come on, this is your timeline. This is your life. Turn sideways. He was born back there. He's headed that way. By the way, that way ends in the casket. For all of us, this is your timeline, and you're going through your life, and as you're going through life, this is what happens, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Sometimes our days are copy and paste. Someday, your Tuesday looks just like your Monday, and then if you're not careful, your Wednesday will look just like your Tuesday, and Tuesday evening, you'll make this statement, "Well, I got to go to church. So, Damon, don't text me and ask me where I was at." Yeah, yeah. And then if you're not careful, you're Thursday. And then here's what will happen. Your 2020 will look like your 2021, and your 21 will look like your 22, and your 22 will look like your 23. And your and here's what you do every December. Oh, a new year, a new me. And before you know it, it's copy and paste. Copy and paste, copy and paste. And it's a repeat. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You look back and you say, all I did was sleep and work last year. And went to work and went to church twice and vacation. Whew, vacation. That is the fastest week of the year. I don't care when you take it, it's quick. And before you know it, work weeks don't go by that fast. Amen. So this is your life. And you're used to what you have seen. You get accustomed to what you have. You get accustomed with what you're working with. You get accustomed to everything around you. You become accustomed to your life. But this day, Abram is working through his life. Sam, stand over there. And day after day after day, he begins to wonder, why don't I have any kids? Why hasn't God blessed me with any children yet? Why do I go childless? Well, out of all the days of his life, there came a day. Oh, man, hope you're following me. There comes a day that's unlike every other day. And in that day, he gets to the day that God is getting ready to speak to him and do something different. God is getting ready to open up things that only God can open up. God's getting ready to bless in a way that only God can bless. And I don't care how last Tuesday was, today is going to be different because God gets involved. He speaks to him. When he speaks to him, he says, I'm getting ready to bless you. What Abram does is he doesn't look to him, he looks to this. Oh, let me say that again. He doesn't look to the one who is making the promise. He is looking to his experience day after day after day. And not only is he looking at his experience, he is blaming his experience on him. He said, behold, you've not given me any seed. Verse 4. This is the conversation between you. And behold, the word of the Lord came to say, this shall not be your heir. God begins to say things. Abram had already came to the conclusion that he was going to die without child. He had already concluded that this man who was not an heir in his house was going to possess what he had to give. God begins to make declaration. He says, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be thine heir. Abram had already gave up because of his experience. I want to preach to you something today. I don't care about your experience because when you have an experience with God, it changes everything that has happened up to that point. And yesterday doesn't matter anymore. He said, he's not going to be the one. Watch this. And he brought him forth abroad and said, lo, now look toward heaven. Look toward heaven. Here's the problem. Abram was looking that way. God says, don't look that way. That's not how it's going to be. He said, look up. He said, look toward the heaven. We have been looking to our natural experience too long. And God is saying to us, it's time to look up and quit looking back, but look toward the heaven. Oh, he said, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. There came a point in Abram's life when he had to get rid of his experience. He had to trash what happened in the past and believe what God was saying right then and right now. I'm here to tell you, I don't care if they've been lost for 20 years. That God says he's still able to save and deliver. Past experience doesn't matter to God. I'll need you back. You get to this point and God speaks to you. How many times has this happened that God has used a minister to speak a word into your heart, and for a moment you was ready to hold on to that word and believe it, and somehow you find your way outside the door and you let it go again? And you know what you do? We fall right back in to past experience. Well, let me get a little psychology on you. Your brain is all about repetition. Your brain gets comfortable in repetition. Even if it's not comfortable, your brain finds a way to adapt and be okay with it. There are people in this world that have been in abusive relationships, and it becomes normal to them. And you can talk to them and say, oh, don't marry that guy or don't marry that woman. She's crazy. And they're like, it's normal to them. And sometimes you've seen this happen. They'll get away for a minute, and they'll go right back because their brain gets used and accustomed to what's normal. We've got accustomed spiritually what is normal. What's normal is come to church on Wednesday, hear a nice little sermon, come to church Sunday, it's a little more amped up, worship's a little more on Sunday, so we got to be ready for that. We hear a sermon, and we go to eat, and then we get back to work on Monday, and it's repeat, 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 repeat. But here's the problem. God wants to speak to us, and the reason he wants to speak to us, because I believe in the last day, God's going to do a work, a very accelerated work, and he needs a people that he can talk to. And it's not about yesterday, but it's about, God, what do you want me to do today? Let me say it like this. This Sunday is different than every other Sunday because God wants to speak directly to you, and it can't be copy and paste. So at this point, something new begins to happen. Abram opens up to the world of faith. And when he opens up to the world of faith, things begin to change for him. You know what's easy? You know what's easy? To spread around bad news. Bad news is so easy. It spreads so quick. You know what's kind of hard to get traction sometimes there? Good news. Good news. I use this illustration all the time. Nobody's going to buy your column if it says 300 planes landed safely in the Chicago airport today. But let one crash and watch how fast that news will spread. Because there is just something about human nature. But God begins to speak something. And he begins to say things. And if we're not careful, we'll go back to our experience and we'll miss what God is wanting to do. God wants to do something different. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is in character. God doesn't change. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But I'm here to tell you, there came a day when a virgin conceived and had a child, and that had never happened before. Because when God gets to a point, Junior, somebody has to step in the gap and say, here I am, Lord, send me. I know my yesterday was messed up, but I know you got a promise, and I'm here right now, and I want to fill the gap, and I want you to move through me. I can't let my Christian experience be copy and paste for the rest of my life. Well, yeah, I do a little prayer, and I do a little reading. And then I'm just trying to survive the week. Preacher, why be so hard on me on Sunday? You don't even know what I had to deal with this week. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I deal with it too. Amen. I get up early. I go to work. There's days I'm okay with being there. There's days I'm trying to think. Wonder what the church would say if I robbed a bank. Not really, but there are days, man, you just ain't feeling it. Abram lived his life like this, Dustin, wondering. And as soon as he got a chance to tell God what the problem was, he let him have it. You're the reason. God is saying at that moment, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Is this faith preaching? Yeah, this is faith preaching. You know why? Because we need to stir up our faith in God and quit going by our experience and start living in the Word of God. Quit going by what happened yesterday and become accustomed with that and say, start to renew our mind. Amen? Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. Lamentations, lament, crying. I think this is some Christian's favorite chapter, favorite book of the Bible. Crying, whining. Oh, it's a hard old way, Pastor. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it. Who wrote that? That's plumb depressing. You coming up on the rough side of the mountain. It's a hard old way, ain't it? I'm doing my best to make it. Your best ain't good enough to make it. We're in the middle, right here. There's five chapters in the book. Right here in the middle, chapter 3, right in the middle. He's lamenting in chapter 1. He's crying in chapter 2. He gets to chapter 3, and he says something. Right in the middle of all this woe, and woe and woe. For chapters, he's living in woe. For chapters, he's this is wrong and that is wrong. But right in the middle, Jeremiah says something so nice. He says, this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. He said, I remembered something. This is what he remembered. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in this copy and paste that you would like to erase? Is there anything that you have done in your past that would be really cool if God said, here, run back there with an eraser. You did something, just blot that out. Just erase it. How many people would like to have that eraser? Raise your hand. You'd like to go back. And he was like, yeah, man, most days were normal. But then there's that one day, man, I'd really like to erase that one. I would love to erase it. And that just have never to have happened. And that'd be so cool if you could do that. I'm sorry, you can't. You don't get to go back and erase anything in your past. If you messed up in your past, you don't get to erase it. Man, I hope you're hearing me. But there comes a point when you have an experience with God, though you can't go back and erase the past, you can take control and write what's going to happen in the future. I can't go back 10 years ago and change anything I've done, but let me tell you what I can do. Starting from this point, right now, I can go forward and never touch again what I did in times past. Can you say amen? A one-time chance to do that is amazing. Even if I said, here's your chance to totally, totally redo your future. You're heading in a direction, but I'm going to give you not a, man, I got a pencil. Anybody got a pencil? Anybody got a pencil? He's got one. You need yours for notes. Okay, she's got one. Do you got one? Yeah, somebody's got one. What? That's what I wanted to hear. Man, this works out good. God's good to me. Somebody done ate the eraser off that. Look at that. It don't even exist. It's down to the wood. You know what's awesome about that? You can sharpen this in. Woo! Man, wouldn't it be nice to go back? But here's what Come here. Get back up here. When you get to this point and your timeline gets you to an experience with God, turn around. He gives you this. No, he gives you this. You say, oh, no. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And how do I know he does it? Because he gives you power to decide some things that are going to take place in the future. You get to write some things. You get to decide some things. My Bible says, whatever you bind on earth, he'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. It's up to you to write the script and forget about what happened yesterday and start writing a better future. You look real excited about it. This is a one-time opportunity. And he's telling you this. And you know what Abram does with this opportunity?
Well, I ain't got no kids, and it's your fault.
If I was God, I'd have went, doink. I'm telling you, I'm going to bless you. Well, I'm not blessed, and it's your fault. I'm telling you, I'm going to bless you. You know how many times we do this with God? He's like, I want to bless you, but you don't know, Lord. I've had this problem since I was little. But today, I'm telling you, I'm going to be your reward. But, see, I haven't gotten it yet, but this is the day. This is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. What are you going to do? Abram said, I believe you. And you know what? We're still dancing because Abram applied faith to what God said. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. Check this out. They are new. However you worship, you ought to right now. You know why? Because this ain't a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He gives you this opportunity every single morning you wake up. He says, hey, new mercy, what are you going to do today? What are you going to write with these new? I got new mercy for you. I don't care what happened yesterday. I got new mercy this morning. Start writing your story. Write it. What are you doing, man? You got up this morning and God's mercy was so new. But here's what the devil does. It's been the same old way, coming up on the rough side. It's been hard old way. Being a Christian's tough. Being a Christian's hard. It's difficult. I text people that tell me that. You know what's difficult? Being a transgressor. The way of a transgressor is hard. Ain't it? And he said, take my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. I don't know about you. But my worst days are behind me because I had an experience with him. And every morning I wake up. Listen to what I'm telling you. Every morning I wake up, I got a new chance to write a new script, and yesterday has no bearing on my tomorrow. So what are you going to write? Write by faith. Write by faith. Don't write by your experience. Well, God did this for me one time. Maybe no. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or even think. So when you write, write big. Write big stuff. Don't write little stuff. Write big stuff. Not little stuff, big stuff. Not little stuff, big stuff. Why do you want to write big stuff? Because I serve a big God. And this is so cool. Well, what happens if you fail? I got tomorrow morning. No, you didn't get that. Hey, you messed up yesterday. Yeah, but he woke me up this morning. Guess what? Guess what? Yesterday don't matter. I know it was yesterday. But this morning, I got a reset. Oh, what are you going to do with this kind of power that he gave you to write something? Oh. What kind of stuff you going to write? Big stuff. Not little stuff, but big stuff. His mercy are new every morning. Brethren, I count not myself. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. He said, this is one thing that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. The only way you can do that is if you get to a day with new mercy. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, here's what's so awesome. When you walk in faith, you're not walking to him, you're walking with him. Oh, man. Is that good?
That's good.
Thank you. Because here's what's cool. He had back here, he's living his life and he's having his experience. Once he gets here and he has an experience with God and God's mercy are new every morning, when he moves now, guess who moves with him? He said, you're not alone. I'm going with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Don't worry about what's behind. Worry about what's... What are you going to do with this? This is yours. This belongs to everybody in this room. You get to decide. You get to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. Or you get to wake up and say, rough side again. I'm doing my best to make it home. I've been wading through deep waters trying to get home. What? We used to sing that stuff. You wading through deep waters? Jesus said, come, you can walk on the water. Problem is, you're living in your past experience because you sunk so many times before, you expect to sink, but Jesus is on the water. And when Jesus, I hope you hear me. It don't matter if you sunk before because he's with you now. Title of my sermon is Write Big Stuff. Don't take his grace in vain. Don't use his grace for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use his grace because what happens with that is you keep making the same mistake over and over and over. Listen, you don't get to get to this point until you pass this point.
Say it again.
Why does this trial keep coming my way? Because you haven't passed the test yet. Why does it feel like when I get in this situation, God is so quiet? Because the teacher is always silent during the test. But when you got what you need. So, preacher, I have a spouse that needs to be saved, and it don't look good. As a matter of fact, I think they're getting worse. You know what we do as Christians? We look for signs. You know what I'm talking about? We watch them. We watch them. We say, hey, they called and requested prayer. Whew, that's great. That's good. And they requested prayer. That's good. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? Hey, you know what? I sent them a text the other day, and they agreed that God existed. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? There's signs of life there, right? Right? And that's what we look for. We look for signs of life. Don't come on, do we? We say things like, hey, I invited an old heathen to come to church and they came. It's a good sign, ain't it? Good sign, ain't it? Hey, I was reading my Bible in the living room and that old heathen came in there and didn't turn around and walk immediately out. It's a good sign. And we look for these signs. And you know what happens? Years go by and they still don't get saved. And you know what? We get upset. You know why? Because we're watching experience. Come back over here. Come back over here. We in New Testament now. We in New Testament. You ain't Abram. You still back there. You ain't Abram anymore. Hate to tell you, but you're Lazarus. You can't write no more. I know you can't write anymore. I know. But we're from Southern West Virginia. Can't write no more. Can't read no more. You know why? Because he's dead. And you know what happens with dead people? We're looking for signs of life in dead people. And you know, for a couple days, they'll twitch. They'll still move. Am I telling it right? And we're just looking for any kind of movement. And watch what happens when Jesus comes to where Lazarus is. Notice what they do. They know by experience. They said, this is your fault. The reason this is your fault, if you would have been here, then he would not have died. This, just like Abram, it's your fault. He said, where have you laid him? Oh, no. No, 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 you don't understand. This has been 4 days. And it's our experience. They didn't say this. But this is why they don't have any hope. They said, by now he stinketh. You think he cared? You think he was deterred? You think he was worried about it? You think he was ready to find another way? Absolutely not. He said, he's going to live again. Oh, yeah, 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 he will. He will. In the resurrection of the last day. He said, oh, thank you, Bible readers. He said, I am the resurrection. I don't care what past experience has taught you. I don't care what the coroner says. I don't care what the law of decay says. I don't care. There is no sign of life. I don't need any sign of life. I need the life giver. And he gets to the tomb and he says,
Lazarus.
Say it like you think he did.
Lazarus.
And the scholars say the reason he said Lazarus is because if he would have said, come forth. Whoa! There was so much power, they would have all got up. But the reason he said Lazarus, oh man, this is so good. Because we're looking for a little bit of life, and there is none. I want to take the unbeliever to him when really I need to get him to the unbeliever. Because when he shows up, everything changes. Come on, Chandler. Come on, musicians. Get ready. When he said, come forth, there is nothing Lazarus could do but get up. When he says live, I gotta breathe. Lazarus. Lazarus gets up and they bring him out and he's wrapped in. Listen, people, this had never happened before. Nobody, I mean nobody, that was resurrected had been dead that long before. And experience says one thing, but God says another. So you know what Lazarus gets? He gets a chance. People were coming to the city not just to see Jesus, but they was coming to see Lazarus. The authorities were so tore up about what he was, they thought about taking him out again. What good's that going to do? The devil said, I'll kill you. You done tried that. I've already been dead. The only thing you can threaten me with now is graduation. This experience between you and God is so important. Man, I want to talk to somebody today. Thank y'all. Thank you. How you going to write? Big. Good. Thank you. Man, Gary, what we talked about this morning, it eats at me. It eats at me. What do we do? What do we do? I don't want to compromise, but I want to show love. I don't want to let down, but I don't want to be a jerk either. You wrestle with this and you wrestle with it and you wrestle with it. God says, write big. You think it's what Paul meant when he said, see, such a large letter I've written unto you. He just wrote real big, didn't he? You know, some scholars believe that's what he meant because his eyesight was bad. You think that's what it was? Bad eyes, so he's writing big letters. You know what we need to do? We need to write the promises big. Put them right there and start marching for them. Man, am I talking to anybody? Your past experience doesn't matter. Doug, I don't want to hear about revivals in the past. I want to know, what does it take to get that kind of revival right now? I don't want to hear about the revival happening in California or Arizona. I want to know how to get that right here in Southern West Virginia. How do I do it? Well, I got new mercies this morning. Tell you one way to do it. Stop looking in the past. Man, is anybody ready to do something big for God? Am I talking to anybody today? This ain't a motivational speech. It's one of those things where God says, I'll be your reward. Are you up for it? And Abram said, I believe. He said, look up. You know what we need to start doing? Looking up. Look up. Look up at the heavens. Quit looking at your timeline and look at the heavens. The God that spoke that into existence wants to do something through you, and I think it's big. Man, God is extravagant. He's prodigal. How long have I been up, Tracy? Too long? Does it feel too long to anybody? Okay, y'all good? Somebody's like, yeah, it's been a while, but they just won't say it. They're afraid I'll call them out. I see them. They're laughing now. Okay, too long. They time me. Let's go. Come on. Look, what are we singing? Sing something. Man, if you want to do something big for God, stand up and come up here and let us pray with you. Get out here, Sam. Get out here, Darren. Get out here, Dave. Get out here, Thomas. Y'all get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on. Come on. You want to do something big for God? There they come. They're serious. I'm serious. Come here. Turn around right here. Get these two right here. Help me over here, Sam. Dave, over here. Gary, right here. Help me. Help me. Are you going to pray? You going to pray? God, I want to do something big. God, I want to do something big. It's a new day. It's a new mercy. It's new mercy. It's new mercy.